However you see. Stephen, can you hear me? Can y'all hear me? Because I can't really preach loud tonight after singing it all this morning. Boy, my voice has been messed up ever since. All right. Hey, Stephen, cut that off, buddy. Y'all need to hear me. I don't. All right. We're good. Is that good? Is that good? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 1 with me. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous. You know what that means? It is more than what is needed. All right? Now you know. For me to write to you, for I know that the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Will you bow your souls with me in prayer? Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for this awesome opportunity, God, to be able to come and preach your word. And Lord, I ask you tonight for a special anointing upon your messenger. Lord, that the message tonight will lead this old body, this old vessel of clay, oh Lord, just an instrument tonight, Lord, for your service. Lord, that it will go out, and God, that those who sit under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that you will touch them, God, that the Holy Spirit, oh God, the Holy Spirit will descend upon us in our midst, oh Lord, that we would be able to hear the word of God tonight very clearly. And Lord, may it just really impact who we are. And Lord, may it impact what we're going to do and what we're doing for your cause. Lord, because it's all about you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory tonight in this place. Lord, thank you to begin with, Lord, with our singing. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our patch. Lord, we just say bless your name tonight, Lord, for our young people and for our people here tonight. Lord, may you move in our midst. And God, may we let you move freely, for it's in his name I ask it. Amen. Now tonight, I want to share something with you, and may I interpret those few verses that I just read. Now, Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, he is saying, I've been bragging on you, and I've been telling people down here over here in Macedonia and other people that y'all have been a giving church. And here he speaks a lot of liberal giving. And, you know, there's many ways that we can give as God's people. You know, our time, our talents, you know, and we give unto God. And we bless his name. But he talks about here, now listen, guys, I am giving a good report about you guys. And don't you let me down. And God, and listen, guys, I tell you what I'm going to do. Just to make sure, because I know you're human. I know you make mistakes. I'm going to send some people before those get there. Before the people get there that I have bragged to. I have bragged on you to them. I've told them that you're a giving church, that you are willing to help, that you're doing good deeds, and that you're helping people, and that you're working for God's glory. And now, but I want to make sure, just to make sure, that you don't make a fool out of me, and that what I've said is truthful, And now it's not so much that Paul's pride was at stake here, but Paul sold himself solely out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted to make sure when he told a group of people that God was at work at this church at Corinth, that when people come in contact with them, no matter when it was, that statement of God being at work in their church would be seen not only by them that he bragged to, but by other people, by passerby, those who walk by. Not because of the pride of Paul, but because of the pride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, a Christian can hurt God's work more than an atheist ever thought about. I've shared that with you before. Because, see, they don't believe. They don't believe there's a God. So people consider that and they move on. But when you bear the name of a Christian, you represent the Holy of Holies. You represent His majesty, His splendor. And when you stand and you claim it, then you've got to be ready at all times to represent being an ambassador for Christ. That what you say and what you do, your actions follow up with your words. Because I will tell you, that will hurt the glory of God more than anything else. And it's not to say that people are hypocrites, but it means that we get loose and we get slack and slothful concerning God's business. And we a lot of times chalk it up to just saying, I'm a human being. I have the right to be wrong. And yes, you do. But be careful when you brag on what God is doing in your church. When you make that statement, you be ready to follow it up. Now, I want to share with you tonight. He says here, a church that is forward. That's where we're going tonight. I want you to look at this verse with me again. Look back at, is it verse 2? I want to share with you two words here tonight that I want to stick with you. Look at it. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind. What are you thinking? What do you have in your mind? What is your mindset to accomplish? Because if you sit around and think about doing nothing, that's exactly what you're going to do. You've got to be thinking ahead, moving forward for God's glory. And He commends them. He brags on them, the church of Corinth, that you have a mind of forwardness. We're making progress. Then he goes on to say at the last, look at the last the last part of verse 2. And your zeal hath provoked very many. You know why there's such a clinging and such a moving in this church? It is because of the zeal. Money attracts money. Youth attracts youth. Corruptness attracts corruption. Purity, as this morning we mentioned, is compatible with purity. And excitement lures excitement. And that is what you're seeing. And that excitement is not just from the pulpit, but it's from the congregation, from this church. And it's not just staying here, it's going abroad. You're talking about it in your workplace. You're talking about it in the store. You're talking about it uptown. You're talking about it on the phones to your family. The word is out that God is in Lebanon Church. And that the church is moving forward. And the church has zeal. But Paul mentions here to the church of Corinth. But just remember, as we brag on you in other places, you make sure that you don't just hurt the pride of those who spoke it, but in the very one that you're working for. And that's what it's about. And I've told you before, I don't want to let God down. When you think about life and you just stop thinking about everything you're thinking about for a minute, and you know exactly your age. You know, we did one time. I don't have one with me tonight. But we took a tape rule and we pulled it out. And the life expectancy now of a man is what, 72? Is that pretty close? 74? I think the women normally outlive the men. Something like that, but somewhere in your early 70s. If you pull a tape measure out, it kind of puts it in perspective for you. And you find your number on that tape rule. And find out just that. And see, the whole tape rule now is what, 72 inches is what, 6 foot tall? Is that about right? I'm about 6'3", so I'm 75 inches. So your age is somewhere the length of me. And you find yourself on that tape rule. And you say, okay, where am I at here? And where am I going? And what am I doing? So now Paul says, okay, now with your forwardness and your zeal, that's wonderful. You're attracting many. Be careful. Be cautious. But don't stop doing what you're doing. Now you move forward, you carry that zeal. And we talked about just last Sunday morning how the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm with you. I've got my sword drawn. And I just want you to go with me. Every battle you will face, I will fight it as long as you trust in me. But the minute you take your eyes off of me and look at the roadblock or the obstruction, you're going to begin to lose your fight. And there's going to be a lot of hard feelings. But Paul says, remember, you have a reputation to uphold. I'll give you an example. If we have someone in this church who sits at the country store, and they talk about our church, and they start using foul language, and people walk in and say, where'd you say you go to church again? And they understand that he's a big-time churchgoer here, and he's bragging on what this church is doing, and he's using foul language. What does that say about our church? But I'll tell you what it means to me. It makes me mad. Now, not so much that I'm ready to run this fellow out of town, but something needs to change. Because you're talking about God's church that he's allowed me to be a part of. I told you if you ever vote me out of pastorate, you're going to let me work the grounds around here. Because as long as God's here, I want to stay. I just want to be a part of what God's doing. See, I'm just a cog in this whole machine that God's doing. Just one small part. I am no greater than you. We all are the same in God's eyes. He has no respect of person. And when he looks at his church, he sees you, and he loves you, and he's blessed us. And he's saying, keep up the good work. Learn from your mistakes. But don't lose your zeal. And don't stop going forward. Now, I've shared with you a little bit of what this means. Now I want to give you this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, I want to read this to you. You don't have to turn there tonight, but Luke chapter 12, and verse 47 and 48 says this. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit the things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So if you knew what to do and you didn't do it, you're going to be beat worse than the one who did not know. So there is a worse punishment for those who did not, for those who had the opportunity and did not take it. You would have been better, you had not even been born, than to live and know what was right and face him with that on your hand. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You know, I always pray, God bless me. I ain't gonna kid. When I was a young kid, I had some things that wasn't shaped on me the way I wanted them shaped. I said, God bless me with good looks. I did. I wanted to be a lady killer. I really did. I wanted to go through school and just be a heartbreaker. I said, God, give me a way with words and just give me good looks. And God, just bless me all over. I did. That was one of my prayers. But you know, no is an answer to prayer. Hey, right? Amen. And thank God for some unanswered prayers. Amen. There's some prayers you're glad didn't happen the way you wanted them at that time. But I'll tell you this. God has blessed us as a church. And you know what that means? He said, I've given you much, and we rejoice in it. But now he says, there's much more required of you than someone who has less. So, you know what the perfect world would be? Just to let it all come in. Boy, I'm going to just suck this up and not do anything. Just let it bathe over me like a cool Calgon bath. Amen? But what's so bad is when you got to get up out of the water. You know, I think that's why God wrinkles your skin when you stay in the water a long time. You can't stay there forever. You got to get up and go. You ever had your skin get wrinkled because you stayed in the shower long enough? Well, that means we need to turn your hot water heater down a little bit. You're staying there too long. You can enjoy things of God, but you got to keep moving. So now that he's blessed us, and has he blessed his church? I am so not convinced. Has he blessed this church? Praise the Lord. We have seen things that we probably, some of us, never thought we'd see. Oh, ye of little faith. But boy, when it happens for decades and decades after decades, you have a reason to think, I guess it's as good as it's going to get till I get to heaven. But God has said, I've blessed you. And now that I've given you much, I expect the same in return. See, the rich man told one day, he said, sir, how'd you get so rich? He said, because God shovels it in and I shovel it out. He said, wow. He said, just the thing is, God shovels bigger than mine. You can't outgive God. And I want to give you a challenge this year. Let's try. Let's try. I want to try. You want to try? I want to try and outgive God. One whose streets are gold, whose gates are pearl, whose walls are jasper, the land of milk and honey, the trees of life, and he sits upon his throne. And we've got what most churches are envious of. They get on their knees and beg God in heaven to give them what they need. Cry themselves to sleep brokenhearted. And we have got the very thing that they're envious of. And what will we do with that? Where will we go? Here's what I got in mind tonight, and I want to share with you something that God has put on my heart. And this is going to help me in these Sunday nights to come. These Sunday nights to come is going to be a series of messages that God has already put in my heart, probably since the day I was born and I did not even realize. I'm going to cast the vision to you that God has put in my heart. I'm going to share with you what I believe God would have us to begin to do in this church. When I mentioned last Sunday this is going to be a transitory year, it will be a changing year. We will not violate the Word of God, but we must pursue His vision. But there's one thing I've had to understand, and I'm just talking to you tonight. And I need forgiveness on this. Because, see, what burns in my soul, and I'm not going to discredit you one bit, some people could care less. That's a true statement. Some people want it so bad they can't stand it. Some people will stand in the way and provoke it. And some people will say, I will go. I will go wherever he leads. I will go. And that's the mixture that you have. But my, as a 32-year-old male who knows that my life is changing, and I have but yet one life to give to God. And I imagine the biggest plea when you get there is, Lord, let me go back. Lord, let me go back just one more life. Give me one more year. What did the rich man who died and went to hell wanted to do? He said, please. Please, Abraham. Let me go tell my brothers about this place that they not come. And my prayer for God to us as a church is this. Holy Spirit of God, touch us, that you may enlighten us, that our vision will be pursuing your will as if there is no tomorrow. So what can we do? God has called us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. In a summary, He tells us to take the gospel forward. And here is my first part of the vision tonight. In 09, we begin this. I can't give you the details tonight. Truth be known, the details are up to you. All I can do is cast you the vision. You remember, you don't follow the preacher's words. You pray about it and let God lead you, okay? Now, I'm His under-shepherd. And in that, you have to trust. But I want you to seek God's faith, not mine. I'm just a messenger. I'm just one who did not choose to be a preacher. It chose me. Many of you know me. I had my life figured out. And God stopped me dead in my tracks. And I think that's in large part because a lot of people didn't answer the call to preach and He had to go out to the second round. But there's a lot of people who don't answer the call to preach. And they suffer all their life. And many souls that could have been saved will die and perish and go to hell because they did not answer God's call. I believe that. Well, you have to get to heaven before you see that. It's like somebody telling you, you're going to get tired of driving when you get your license. You will never believe that till you do it. There's just some things you're not going to believe. So here's what we do. God's blessed us. We got a community out here that I believe we as a church, because we've been given much. And I'm going to make a statement. We've been blessed in this community more than any other church has. In this era. So therefore, He doesn't expect you to act like the other churches act. He asks you to act according to what He has given. He's given you much. Let's go forward. Truth be known, we should have the bigger visitation team of any other church around. Truth be known, we should have the biggest and the best youth program of any around. Truth be known, we should have some of the better Bible studies and bigger Bible studies than any around. But here's what we've got to do. God has brought it into the storehouse. Now it's time to take this outside of the wall. Not just bragging on the excitement of what God's done, but we take the gospel to these people. We reach them. With an agenda, with a goal in mind. There's some people who are suffering. They're crying maybe even right now in their homes because of depression, because of loneliness, because they are lost and undone. And Lebanon Church has to reach them and present the gospel to them. God done said, if we give sparingly, we're going to reap them. But He says, if you give bountifully, I will give it to you in return. But do you know where bountiful comes from? It is an act of God's grace in one's heart. Before you will give bounty, you have to be touched by God. Now, these people, guess what's going to happen in Effingham? Everybody in Effingham is not going to get saved. I'm not being one of little faith. But I'm telling you right now, every soul in this community statistically will not be saved. But I got to know when this church is raptured that we give it everything we had in order to present the gospel to them, to give them an opportunity. Now, I mentioned the community, but there's something you need to understand tonight. This is not a small community church anymore. If you haven't already realized that, you need to look at that tonight. This is no longer a small community church anymore. This is a big global church who welcomes anyone and everyone who will come in with them. Jesus casts none out, nor should we. As long as they're orderly and doing those things, unless they're money changers in the temple, unless they're things of that nature, if they come in here and they're looking for Jesus, we should accept them. I need for you, with me, to come to a realization, whether it hurts or not. I grew up in a small country church all my life. I love it. It's a part of who I am. I didn't go to the old school, but I was raised by some who graduated from it. Amen? And it's in my roots. It's in my blood. But I can't serve God based on the way that what I'm used to. I've got to serve God because if I based it on what I was used to doing, I sinned all my life. And God's called me to do something other than that. And church, I want you to understand something. Everything I do as your pastor will not be exactly what I wanted to do. I'll be honest with you. But I hope that everything I do will be what God wanted. And you need to pray for me. And I need to pray for you that God will lead us. Because here's the thing. We have to take this separation in 09 that we're not just, if we think like a small church and we operate that way, we will never be able to handle what God is blessing us with. I'm going to give you the first idea tonight. My biggest and toughest test right now is getting everybody involved. Now some of you wouldn't get involved right now if I wanted you to. But some of you are chomping at the bits, and I'm trying my best to figure out a way to get you involved, not just to pacify you, but to get God's work done because He's brought you here for a reason. Here's one. There's some people out here that will never come in here. We say a lot of time, let's get them in church and make them a part, and they'll take it. But we might need to make them a part before they'll ever come. One way I want to do that is this. We need to start a newsletter in this church. A newsletter that will go out monthly about the report of what God is doing in this church to the people. They see all the cars on Sunday. You know that's something you never saw before? You've never drove by this church and seen all the cars all the way out to just about the wood line out there. Now, if some of you had, I want to know why. You were supposed to have been in here. Your car wasn't supposed to be on the pavement at that time. You were supposed to be one of the cars they were looking at. Glory. Now that that's done, but when they come by, they say, wonder what in the world's going on. You know what? You know, people are curious people. And there's some people who's going to come based upon that curiosity. And when they get here, we've got to live up to the bragging that people's already done before. Amen? Because when they walk in here and they sit down and they take a place in that pew, they say, what? This? Is this what they were talking about? See, there's so many things that I need you to help me with, and I can't get it all out tonight. Well, you know I won't do. But when the people come through those doors, church, now listen to me. Let me just go ahead and throw this out here because we're going to do a lot of talking. And you're going to have a time here for too long to voice your opinion. Because I won't know how you feel. Your opinion matters. I won't know what's on your mind. Many times in the wilderness, Moses based a lot of his decisions on the cry of the people. When they were thirsty, he prayed to God and he gave them the rock. When they were hungry, he prayed to God, lest I be stoned to death and killed. God, give us some food. They're crying for it. He sent a manna and quail. He took care of it. And your opinion counts. And don't think because you stand up here and you give me your opinion, things are going to change tomorrow. I ain't seen nothing like that work around here yet. But it matters. And you're going to have an opportunity in this process to do that. So you be thankful. But when people come through these doors on Sunday morning, how many we have this morning, gentlemen? 33. We've been running that pretty regular. Through the holidays and through the sickness and everything else. Even when there's always a shift. I need to just say homecoming next week and we'll have 300. There's always a shift in church, and I understand that. But this is what I need you to do for a church. I need you to help me tonight. We're just starting tonight, and we're just kind of throwing it out. There's musicians in this church. You need to be using your talent for God. You need to come forward, and I need to know if you play a an instrument. We're going to put that to work. Somebody here play the drums? Somebody here play the guitar? Somebody in here play the flute? A clarinet, something? You can't tell me God ain't brought people in here. Maybe they're just coming on Sunday morning. But we need to get them here on Sunday night. How about that new, fresh, anointed voice of God in Miss Lynch this morning? Man, she carried the preacher through the fire this morning. Amen. Oh, yeah. Honey, by the way, I just need to know your schedule a little bit so I can put you on the same schedule, you know. So anyway. All right. I'm not kidding. But the thing is this. Now, if you sing, now here's the truth. There's some people, let me just throw something. There's some people that think they can sing and can't. I don't need you to come forward. That's right, but when you're running solo, I need you to stay that way so we can't hear you. Now, for real, let's be honest. Don't put us in an awkward position where we got to pull your string and tell you, that ain't going to get it right here. Because we've been bragging on the singing at Lebanon, and somebody walks in the door and they hear you. And they said, police! Somebody lied. And now what you've done is took the people's credibility away at the store who said, you ought to come to our church. God's at work, and it's good singing, and it's this. You took all their credibility. They'll never trust them again. But you need to come forward. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You know what I did this morning? I got all up out of my comfort zone. You say, well, preacher, you used to standing up there. Yeah, but not doing that. And I hope that sends a message. But if God's given you a gift to do something, it's time that we give it back to God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you, church, we've just scratched the surface, even if that. So it's time to come forward. If someone in here, God's already told you if you are, you're the one who could write us a good newsletter. Well, that's not going to cost us a lot of money. You've seen the informers that we get back here. We need to inform the community about what God's doing here. There could be a picture of our patch tonight in that informer. There could be a yearly statistic that there were 46 people baptized here the last 2 years. There could be that there was 26, 28 people who took membership in 08. And we continue to do that on a monthly basis, telling them about the souls that's being saved, about the baptisms that's taking place, about the new movement that God is doing in our midst. And we brag on God, and we tell them about it. And we make them a part, and they say, I think I'll come. Because what we did was put Lebanon Church in their living room. And believe it or not, they felt a part, so they came and joined us. And there's some of them you're never going to reach otherwise. You can beat on their door till you knock it down. They'll never come. But when people feel like they're a part of something, they make a special effort to attend. There's been many of you who have not come on a Sunday night because you didn't have an obligation, didn't feel like you'd be missed, and you just laid on the couch and watched the rest of the game and said, I won't go tonight because I don't really have to. God will understand. I worked hard this week, And truth was, the reason you didn't come is because you didn't really feel a part of something that night, so you just laid low. But I want, this is the body. We all got to work together. And that's what it's about. And we got to pull together. And see, God's brought all these people and all this youth. 70, 79, 76 young people on Wednesday night. Man, come on. That's awesome. Who would have ever thought that would have happened in Effingham? That's God. And we don't offer them anything special that they couldn't get right down the road. That's a movement of God. And we have to take those things to the next level and recognize and realize what we're on. See, God's blessed. He's brought it in. God's here. And he's saying, now what you wait? What you wait? Next step, see that wall? We got to make a decision. That wall's got to come down. That's not in my vision, but that's just common sense. That wall's got to come down. Or either we got to put a big screen TV on the other side and move you people who are normally here over there and watch the service, open the doors where you can hear it, and put our visitors in here. We can't wait 6 to 8 months to build a building to house the people that God's blessing. The church is already full. There's been people, our ushers have seen them, they come to the door and turn around. Am I lying, guys? They pulled up in the parking lot and didn't have a proper place to park, and they left. Whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? I take that too. That's one soul that God died for. And if he's blessing and he's giving, I got to move with God in spite of my selfish, self-centered way. So we have to make a decision. We're already full. Don't wait till you don't see any blue, because I don't know about you, but I'm not going in the church and sitting in somebody's lap. Nor do you want me there. And church, I need you to help me do something. When you come into church, and I know they're comfortable back, I need you some way, somehow, by move by God tonight. You have got to start moving toward the front of the church. Now, I'm not fussing at you, but let me tell you what it's doing. You may not realize. Our ushers are having to contend with people who are coming in. You notice how we're having like visitors every week? Understand, that's God. We don't even have a visitation program together, and hadn't for a long time. Now, a lot of people go and do, and I'm not downing anything, but truth be known, where are you going to put them if we did? Truth be known, we got to figure out what we're going to do with the wall before we put this big visitation group together. Amen? You going to let them sit in your lap? I'm not going to turn them out, but we got to do something different. So we're working on that. But here's the thing. Don't be alarmed. That's nothing. But the thing is this. People are coming in the door, and they're looking at our ushers, and our ushers are saying, well, there's a seat way up there at the front, about the third pew back. And is it? Seriously. And it's making them uncomfortable. And the thing is, they're saying they're scared. Now, I'm not fussing at you, but I won't say this is glory be to God time. But you have got to move to the front. If I spit on you, so be it. But we have talked about this how many times, church? 50 times. And you'll do it for a little while, then you quit. If you start moving to the front, I'll make a promise to you. I'll never talk about it again. Bill, let's shake on it. So move to the front. All right? Won't you get up here where God's working and moving anyhow, amen? So we got a deal that we'll try to move toward the front and allow our visitors and people who are scared to death to walk in front of all these people. Or can I say this? Would it be better if we take some of them comfy chairs and move them to the front? Would you come then? You know, and maybe we can arrange that so when we're knocking this wall down and sitting, when we buy another 100 chairs or so to sit 400 people, we'll move some toward the front. But God help us, we got to move to the front. Okay, so that's done. I ain't going to beat that to death. Please move to the front. I ain't going to say it no more. Move to the front. All right? All right, now that that's done, I know, God help us. Now listen, no, I was going to tell you on Wednesday nights it would kind of be all right. I don't kind of care if you do a little bit on Wednesday nights, but as long as you don't practice what you do, okay? If you're doing it on Wednesday night and it's carrying into Sunday morning, we ought to stop the Wednesday night too, okay? But just come in on Sundays and make your way to the front. And let those people do that. I'm going to leave you to this and I'm gone because Brother A.C. bragged on me too early. Don't stop doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. You're carrying the zeal and the excitement of this church out. And it's working. You're also moving forward with God. Don't stop. We're going to make some minor adjustments and we're going to move. We're not going to break, but we're going to bend and we're going to kind of maneuver our way through. But I will tell you this, if we do the little things like moving from the back to the front, if we take care of those small things, I'm telling you, the big things won't be a problem. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Churches have split up more on the color of paint than some of your biggest problems you would think. They just run over across the street. A lot of time when you see two churches with the same denomination across the street from one another, there was a split. And that is not good. But I'm not worried about it. God will take care of the details. But will you help me do this in this upcoming year? Do your job to the best of your ability. If you're a teacher in this church, prepare your lessons during the week. You have the potential of touching a huge crowd of people who are going to carry that gospel on you. Don't miss it. Teach. And if it's your job to sing, sing. But practice before you come. Amen? Take me for an example. My wife told me last night, after 3 or 4 grueling weeks, I will be so thankful to God when you're done with that. I put that thing in my CD player in the kitchen, and I hit repeat, and it did it for hours on end. She was trying to avoid it and all that. I said, baby, I'm just trying to figure out when the song, it's different when you listen to the song without the word. I said, I got to know when to start. She said, just all you got to do is look at me, and I'll just do that. I know when to do it. You know? She said, but for the love of God, please cut it off. I was going through the fire singing about the fire last night. But let me tell you what's going to happen in this year. People will continue to be saved. We're going to take what God has given us and we're going to try to outgive God. He says, try me. I want you to take what I've blessed you with, that zeal and that forwardness, and I want you to take it out here to the regions beyond. Present people the gospel. Tell them the truth about you. Live it, that man may be changed. Excel in all of your programs. You know what? We don't really need a new program right now, per se. In many of our areas, we just need to do a better job at the ones we've got. You don't need a new preacher right now. You just need to pray for the one you've got. And let's take this here. And I want you to get excited about this, okay? Now, you know how you're going to get some of those people on Sunday morning to come on Sunday night? Because of you. You're going to be telling them, boy, start next Sunday night. We're going to be looking at the vision of this church and what we're going to set out to accomplish in their lives. Hey, listen, guys, when you're talking to them, you'll be able to tell them, we're even going to have a voice on that. We're going to be able to express our opinion and what we feel like God has called us to do. And see, the thing is, some of you may already know what God's brought you here to do, and I just don't. And that's something we need to talk about.
I don't want you to ever be afraid to come and talk to me. And just like you are, I put my britches on one leg at a time, and I'm a simple person, and I'd like to keep it that way. But I want you to know that each and every one of you, from our youngest to our oldest, is a part of this church, and we love you. And I want to be able to reach people, not only who are lost, but who are suffering. And we as a church can take what God's given us in here out. If you're one that already knows that you can handle that newsletter, you need to be talking to me. I may have five come tell me, but only one or two. God can work out the details. But that's a starting place for me. And now that all of us are going to move from the back to the front, and those people who are going to sing are going to come forward, and those who can't will stay where they are and maybe write a newsletter. And those who are good instrument, who are good with instruments, let's put it to work. And let's use those gifts for the glory of God. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? All right. Tell people about Sunday night. Tell them, if you want to know what this church is about, you'll know on Sunday night. Because we're going to go behind the scenes in detail about what God's doing. And I want to share with you what's in my heart. And I can't wait because I'm about to explode. Will you stand with me tonight? No altar call. Just going to dismiss in prayer. Yes, ma'am.